Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Hello.
And Jules Gill.
Hey guys.
Do you guys like Ubisoft?
Sure.
Yeah, good, they're based because... up here in the north.
Yes, there is. They've got a little studio, Reflections.
And they've not invited us over for tea yet, so.
They might have done, but they may have gone home.
Wait, what when was this?
Grow home? Yeah, I don't know.
This is the thing. Scott has lots of connections with the Ubisoft people, and he doesn't pass them on, apparently. So we don't get the invites.
I'm not hanging out with Ubi. I've got a mate who's there. But anyway.
big Ubi up the road.
Big Ubi. Big B. And so, yeah, the whole thing is that Pure PlayStation reported that Ubisoft did a conference call on the 14th of February, so just yesterday for us, saying that they don't want to give away the specifics of the games that are coming, but they did confirm that 3 to 4 AAA games are coming in their next fiscal year. Okay. So that's April 2019 to March 2020. So essentially that just leaves it wide open. So that means that we can...
Does that exclude the Division 2 and stuff that's already been announced
that's already
to come out?
Yes.
Right, okay, right.
But that's the thing, that's a perfect segue because this, like I said, leaves it open for us to just come together and predict what those 3 to 4 games might be.
Cool. Yep.
But because like you said, the Division 2 is already confirmed, but in terms of release windows, Skull and Bones is the next one that's confirmed to come that'll land in that window.
Now, Skull and Bones is a weird one because it's like with Sea of Thieves not basically living up to the hype that it's generated for itself, I've kind of been put off along with many of the sort of anything to do with piracy and exploration-y stuff. But Skull and Bones, it looks much more my cup of tea. But again, I'm not really that fussed on it. I don't know why. It seems to tick my boxes, but I just haven't got any hype generated
for it. I know what you mean. Like, definitely looking at the trailer and like what we've seen so far, it looks like it does have more of a story because Sea of Thieves was basically emergent gameplay, the game. You made your own fun sort of thing, which a lot of people, myself included, aren't really that into. So I see what you say, but like I feel like with Skull and Bones, as long as it's not an Assassin's Creed Black Flag clone,
I think that's pretty much what it is.
Oh, sugar.
But the combat from that game was good. The naval combat was fine. I didn't play Assassin's Creed Odyssey though. Did they keep up the good naval battle?
They've done more with it. Like you can ram ships and like you're sort of leveling stuff up and equipping different parts to your ships and things.
Well, hopefully they bring that sort of stuff.
Yeah, weirdly they've been building a naval side to Ubisoft across the last few years. Like started with Black Flag, or started in Assassin's Creed 3 with the little mini missions and stuff.
But
Skull and Bones is the one game that they've kind of got, like, you know, confirmed that's coming, but we don't know exactly when.
Okay.
But like they said, 3 to 4 AAA games. Let's assume that's one of the four.
Okay.
And then we've got three more slots to fill.
Well, Beyond Good and Evil, too.
I thought you were guessing. As if we'd come in here with no notes. No, I've got full-on notes to throw out there. So okay.
Man with the plan.
We will get there. I've got Beyond Good and Evil later on. But for now, let's talk about Watch Dogs.
Okay.
Because Watch Dogs 2 was actually incredibly... It was great. Brilliant sequel. Mm-hmm. Just sold, like, next to nothing. Because, obviously, I think the Watch Dogs name is pretty much tainted.
Yeah.
And you look at the sales for Watch Dogs 2, and it was something like a quarter of the launch day sales of the original. Didn't do very well. But what do you guys think of the potential for Watch Dogs 3?
I know definitely some people who would be very happy to see Watch Dogs 3. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I didn't get too into it. I played a little bit the first one, a little bit the second one. Mm-hmm. They're fun. They have a unique selling point, I would say, with the hacking.
And
they're basically like teenager GTA with hacking.
The weird thing with which you think would be perfect, and it's like the thing with Watch Dogs 2, one of the moments when I realized I really liked what they had was like, because you can hack so much stuff. Mm. And in 2, they gave you like a flying drone and a little remote control car.
Yeah.
And I remember just sitting down, because he plays this kid called Marcus, and just sitting down outside an enemy encampment, and I just sent in his little drone army, and I was like flying in, marking targets. Then I sent the little car drone in, and I zapped a bunch of guys.
Having
and actually,
the
like
Ride of the Valkyries music playing.
That sounds just like me playing Spider-Man.
But it's great, because like your guy's just sitting there with his laptop out, yeah. and you're just yeah. like, you're controlling everything. You can jump between security cam feeds. So you just like, everyone starts yeah. freaking out, like Arkham style. And yeah, you play it all remotely.
That seems to be where Watch Dogs should have been heading. Mm. That was like its core concept given life. The stumbling blocks of the first game maybe were made up for in the second one. And it definitely had a sort of more relaxed tone, mm-hmm. which I think if they carry forward with, say, Watch Dogs 3, they should double down on that. Because there was a lot of, I find any sort of like meme stuff quite cringy.
Yeah.
And I did find
that
Watch
Dogs,
Watch Dogs 2 did have a lot of that, but I think that at the same point, that is kind of one of their USPs, is that they are internet savvy.
It's
and
like,
I don't know, maybe that'll work for
they
them.
Did do some self-aware stuff with that, and they actually did a great, did you guys play through the story very much?
No, I didn't.
Because I had to review it, so that was the only, I might not have even got through it if I right. didn't have to, but they did some cool stuff. There's a character in that game, I forget his name, but he wears a mask the whole time,
yeah. Yeah,
with emojis and stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Go on.
Is his name not like a number?
Yeah, it's something like 90Hacksaw 3 or whatever it is.
Like, it's really cringy.
Yes, yeah, but that's what they want you to think, because story, it's actually that he has like a facial disfigurement, and that's why he wears the mask, and he's embraced like fake online memery to get around that. And that's actually a nice little way of dissecting why people get lost in those kind of, you know, like desensitized online mentalities. Yeah. And I actually thought like, okay, they've really thought about that, and they've actually, the script was great and the acting and everything. One of the only weird things with Watch Dogs is that, like you said, it's like teenage GTA. So you had like happy-go-lucky Marcus, whatever he was called, Holloway, I think, you know, destroying everything, killing loads of people, and still being, hey guys, let's go get burgers.
Yeah,
and it was like,
there's a definite tone that they need to address.
Yes.
They either lean into it and go full Saints Row and go silly for the sake of being silly, over the top, there are no consequences, or they double down to the emotional aspect and they tell us, say, you are using tech, but you are a bad person, effectively.
Either of those would be very good.
Yes.
And then throw in some kind of gameplay where there's more than one way of completing a puzzle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then, well, not a puzzle, you know what I mean.
No, yeah, but like a combat scenario, yeah.
Oh, that could be really good.
I think they...
To be honest, every time I play a game like Wildlands and Watchdog, I always think the best part of it are those base assault sections.
Yeah.
And same with Far Cry. Mm-hmm. And I just want that as a game. Just give me base assault the game.
Yeah, like, just do, I mean, that was one of the standout things for Far Cry 3 was everyone just loved going from stronghold to stronghold. And it's like, if you flesh that out and go down the puzzle side of it and give us more interesting enemies and stuff, then the only question, or the overhanging umbrella question, is whether the Watchdog's name is tainted, because of just how bad that launch period was.
Yeah, I mean, the sales figures have sort of like spoken. My mic is...
Stop faffing with your mic, mate!
I keep hitting it.
If Jules' audio goes away, it's his fault.
It's not been in the best place, the IP's lineage, but at the same point, it's still a great IP for them to put some money and time into.
I think that's some promise. The next thing I've got down is For Honor, because I kind of forgot that For Honor even came out until it was a PS Plus game the other month.
See, I went back to it quite recently, and I have to say they've addressed a lot of the problems that have been going on. Like, a lot of the things that were wrong with the game when it came out were people were saying it was quite shallow when they promised some quite in-depth sword play. The constant kicking in both...
God, that people, kicking keep, thing.
People both off of ledges and also off of servers in general, because it couldn't hack it. And the story was very, very dull and like linear and quite silly. But when I've seen all of the DLC that's been added to it and all the tweaks and the balances and the patch, there are still people who spam the same move, but it's a really fun game.
Yes.
Like, it's
very,
really
good. Is that any different to Street Fighter at the end?
No. I would be so happy if they did For Honor 2, but it would be one of the few games in... Go back a few podcasts of me saying I wish they put more single player stuff in.
Right.
It'd be the one that I say take it out and double down on the multiplayer.
Maybe,
because they've got that.
Yes.
That core element in
they
play now.
They absolutely do the superhero focused approach to a multiplayer game. You know, the Apex Legends, the Rainbow Six Siege, the Overwatch approach to For Honor, and give each character a certain special ability and make sure it's all balanced and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because For Honor is essentially the PvP mode of Souls, like, as a multiplayer game.
Pretty much.
And it's like, the most original thing Ubisoft have done in years. Like, it's
which
just
is why they've
melee
supported it
thing.
So much, because they realize, okay, no one else is doing this. I mean, the closest thing that you had to compare it to would maybe be like Chivalry from on the the PC because of the sort of choosing to defend at which point of attack.
Stuff, yeah.
But I honestly think that if you're in there and you really find yourself a good match type with some good friends, it is a perfect multiplayer.
Oh, it's great.
I really enjoy it.
I played loads of it, and then they did that. There was a whole thing where they remixed the in-game economy, so it meant that to get everything, you had to play like literally hundreds of thousands of hours.
I mean, there are still a lot of problems.
They went back. That's what they fixed, but it was a mess.
It's publisher side rather than gameplay side now, at least.
So if they were to make a sequel, these sort of things would be addressed.
You would assume that they would kind of hit the ground running this time. The next thing I've got down is Beyond Good and Evil 2. Now, obviously, we know that's coming, but we don't know when.
Sorry for blowing that load early.
I know. But still, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is one of the weirdest, most... It's weirdly anticipated.
Yeah.
I think everyone knows the name, and everyone either knows it as that game they were always meant to play, and then the people who did play it absolutely love it. I've only got a couple of hours into it, so I know what it is. I know the Mama Go Garage song, and it's brilliant. it's as far as I go. So we know it's coming, but do we think it's coming before March next year?
My gut says no.
Okay.
My gut says this is a game that's going to take...
some time.
Another year at least.
Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting so long, and what did we get out of it? We got an albeit amazing, cutscene-focused reveal, and we got a sliver of...
Nice bit of in-game ship.
We've not seen much.
We got a little bit of gameplay demo footage, but it's like alpha, pre-alpha stuff. So,
yeah, it seems like it's a really big project.
But why should it be rushed? When the creator came out and he unveiled it and then he started crying on stage, that's what you want all game developers to feel.
Totally.
We got here. And they're not over the hill yet. They still have an insurmountable struggle because now they have the weight of expectations.
Yes.
Well, there's two weird behind the scenes things to this because, Michel Ancel did come on stage and cry. He was like, I'm so glad I'm finally going to get to do this. But if you read, I think it was Kotaku's write up at the time when that game got announced, when they announced it at E3, hey, by the way, we're doing Beyond Good and Evil 2. Apparently, he was sat at home and it was literally day zero of development. They didn't have anything other than a name.
Wow.
And so, he was like, okay, now we need to do this.
Yeah.
And so that immediately makes you think, well, it's at least 3 to 5 year development time.
Yeah.
And one of the, this is my theory side, but one of the only reasons I think they announced that it was even coming was because it was in the middle of the Vivendi takeover.
So they needed to say,
we've got irons in the fire, we've got projects coming, you can't hostile take us over now. And now that they've rescinded now and they've managed to withhold their stock and everything, so they can go, actually, well, it's coming in 2022, whatever. So it's a potential based on how fast they got that ship thing together.
I mean, I personally can't wait for it, but I can wait for it, if that makes sense.
Totally.
I would still totally recommend it. People go play the original as well. For some reason, it's not, I don't think it's on the PS4
but you can get it on Steam as the HD version now, I'm pretty sure. It might be on Steam.
Hopefully the HD version's on the PS4. It's definitely on the Xbox store. Hopefully go dig that out, because that game was so ambitious for its time. It's like five different game types in one. It's great. There's potentially that. The next one is more Assassin's Creed. Do we want more Assassin's Creed?
It's actually very likely that one, because when was it they were like, oh, we're going to take 2 years for Assassin's Creed now, and then that got out of the window.
And then 4 months later, it was like, here's Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
And Odyssey did do well, so I think it's very likely it's another Assassin's Creed.
It's their biggest cash cow that they have, pretty much. Why would they ever think about slowing down?
Time.
Just do me a favor and put the next one in Japan, please.
Woo. Yeah.
Just please.
It's
like,
so overdue.
Everyone's been calling for this. Basically, make the next Tenchu. That's all we're asking.
Yeah. I mean, we're kind of getting out of Sekiro, but you can do a more open world, just design a huge chunk
there
of
was,
Japan.
There was a Chinese one, wasn't there? It was Assassin's Creed. It was on the PlayStation Vita.
It's just called Assassin's Creed China. It's the side-scrolling one where it's like Marvel Ninja.
Oh, that would be good as well. Like a proper.
So they've explored that time period essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, just do it from a different area.
I've done so many rumors and leaks articles on this stuff, because back in the day in Black Flag, when you start exploring the Ubisoft offices or the Abstergo offices, because in game you're working for Ubisoft and Abstergo. There's a piece of artwork, the concept art that they initially drew out for that office before the game released, that shows a bunch of shards shooting off as part of the office, office art deco.
Yes.
And it's different time periods, and one of them is Hokkaido, Japan. And so it was always like, okay, that must be coming, because the other ones are Greece and Egypt and whatever, and we've got all of them now.
Yeah, so this
so it's
should
like,
be
are
the
you
next
doing this
one.
Or not? Yeah.
Ooh,
so yeah, and like the weird thing is, like you said, the release dates, because they did Assassin's Creed Origins and then immediately did Odyssey a few months later.
Yeah, because after Syndicate, I believe, they were like, we're taking a little bit longer on the next one.
Yes.
And then Origins came out. Origins went really well. And then they were like, oh, okay, here,
it was
have
the weirdest. That was the weirdest time because like Unity was such a tire fire. Like the characters' faces were falling off.
A
and
lot
everything.
Of that was, I suppose, due to the. Was that released like shortly after the Xbox One and the PS4?
It was ostensibly meant to be. Their whole tagline for that series then was the next generation starts now.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
they
was,
had. Yeah, I think they crunched a lot of dev time to turn it around.
Definitely.
And it clearly didn't work. Syndicate kind of just got shut out because it was already getting produced anyway.
Yeah.
And then everyone kind of was like, okay, Origins is going to make or break it. And it did all right.
Yeah.
And here we are. So, like, yeah, it's kind of like they're still going, but I mean, I don't know if you guys know the story stuff from Odyssey, but it's insane.
Well,
like,
Atlantis
is in there, and Pegasus.
All I'll say is that they're finally leaning into the things that they probably should have been leaning into for a while, because let's face it, Assassin's Creed at the end of the day is a bit silly. It is
anyone who takes
it as a historical fact is just like it's a good series, and I hope that they continue it on, but I just wish that they would take it to Japan, because I've not been invested in a single one since they would do it. They did. Is it Syndicate where they were back in the UK?
I was in London.
I was just like, yeah, that's all right. But then for me, it's just not.
I think because I grew up with it, I play every single one of them, and I like have a weird vested interest in that original chunk, like the Ezio trilogy, well, the Altair and Ezio and whatever. And I always try and play all of them, and I'm always like, oh dear God, what the hell is happening? But like, I kind of just go with it because I like a big dumb Metal Gear style lore. But yeah, Odyssey had a time traveling staff, so your dude from thousands of years ago is now in the present, and there's like stuff like that. And you can ride a Pegasus. And so
I like a good Pegasus.
I like a good Pegasus too. And I'm just, if they want to go down the Pegasus route, then maybe there's, just do Assassin's Creed Pegasus. And maybe that's what you do. Maybe that's the way that you do it. Maybe that's the way that you compete
coming
in this banter filled
November
world.
2019.
I'm just letting you know, Big Pegasus. So, you know, I'm letting you know. So yeah, potentially more Assassin's Creed, even though it might be overkill, but we'll never know. We might know. The next game I've got down is Rayman, because there hasn't been a Rayman Origins or Legend-style 2D game in six years. Yeah, and Origins and Legends are phenomenal. Like, oh my God, nowhere near enough people play these games.
At the end of the day, though, with Legends, it was sort of almost like an expansion pack to Origins.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I would love a massive graphical gameplay overhaul like they did with Origins, but again, how good would that be?
I just get really sad with it, though, because it's so good. They are amazing. And Rayman Run, I believe, that came out on the mobile was pretty good.
That doesn't count.
No, seriously, that was great. But I'm just saying, like, that art style, that love that the team had poured into it just didn't translate into sales. And unfortunately, it apparently dictated to people that platformers were done and dusted in the 2D. But I don't understand how they did that when Ori and the Blind Forest and was still...
Well, there's a million 2D platformers.
You know what I mean? But I feel like Rayman got thrown under the bus for no reason other than the fact that possibly it was a bit too cartoony.
Do you know what they could do? So the art style was fantastic. Yep. We've had those two games. So I think maybe make the art style a bit more, like you were saying, like Ori. A bit more sort of painted, perhaps. Bring in the difficulty again.
Because
original Rayman was flipping hard.
Unbelievably so. I don't think I completed it for nearly a year and a half when I had it as a kid. I really struggled to finish it.
The thing that I love the most about Origins and Legends is you can just drink them in, especially Legends. Yeah. You've got those great music levels that I thought were hilarious.
They're
so well put together.
The difficulty with those was in the whole like getting the gold trophy. To get 100% on a level, that was hard. But I want bring back like it's actually difficult to complete a level.
Yeah.
Let's try Rayman like that. That would be really
as long as it has a nice checkpoint system. I'm fine because I hate being kicked back to the overworld when I lose something, Mario. And so I just want to crack on.
I mean, Rayman 2 and 3D. 3D was pretty good as well. Like, I mean, it wasn't everyone's
cup of tea. I'll take 2D Rayman over 3D.
I'd be interested to see if they could do a 3D platformer with Rayman.
Well, yeah. I mean, after like Mario Odyssey and Ukulele tried to sort of go like, hey, 3D platformers again, and we've had Ratchet and Clank, like, you know, Crash and Spyro.
Maybe
the market's prepped a little bit for like a 3D Rayman. I would much rather they continued either the art style of Legends and Origins.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sure.
Or something like Ori, because that little wing of Ubisoft, they're called the Ubi Art Department.
Right.
They did Child of Light and Valiant Hearts and Rayman.
Oh, see, they're lovely.
Yeah, and they got to prioritize aesthetics. And it's like, and those games all look phenomenal. They're so identifiable as well.
Yeah.
If you meshed across the Child of Light aesthetic with Rayman, you'd that get something approximate.
Really
well.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. So,
yeah, that would work.
Maybe something
well.
Like that. The next game I've got down, which we don't have to barely even talk about it that much,
okay.
is The Crew 3. There's no joke here. I'm not going to drop in something huge. That's for later on.
I used to work for Game, as you know.
Did you sell any crews?
The Crew 2 just sort of dropped like like a tree in the forest where no one was in the forest.
Yeah,
it didn't even make a sound.
I'm so sorry to any fans of this franchise. I forgot this existed.
Okay,
it's not because they are terrible games. I have played The Crew 2 thinking about it, because that's one where you got to do land.
You can be a plane, you can be a boat.
And that's fine, but then I remember that I played Sonic Racing Transformed, and I realised that did that so much better.
One of the things with The Crew, because I quite like anything that approximates an arcade racing game, mainly because I miss Burnout every day.
Yeah. Okay.
And so The Crew scratched a little bit of that itch, and then in Crew 2 they went like full banter, and they were like, hey, you can just swap to a boat or a plane whenever you want.
It's
which
weird.
Means you could fly through the sky, switch to a boat, and then land in the water, like, you know, after like flying through the sky as a boat.
But was the draw for The Crew not the whole fact that it was online?
Well, that and the fact that they mapped out the whole middle belt of America, so you had like
right.
the entire
right. cool.
yeah, no but there again we have another issue with tone, because of the fact that what we've got there is, like you say, it's an over the top silly Fast and Furious thing,
being
able to switch,
that, yeah.
switch a plane to a boat to a car as you're falling sort of thing.
In the real world,
but why put it in the real world?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, just make a fake world, make a post apocalyptic wasteland where like this where, or like a death arena or something like that. Make that sort of type of game, because that's what the city
tell you what
is suggesting.
In GTA Online, those multi-vehicle races are brilliant, where you go through a checkpoint and it changes your type. So you you go, you know, you're racing, you go through a stunt ramp, you
turn
your boat. Yeah, kind of like a triathlon, but for vehicles. And like, that's a great idea. Like, you can totally like hone that in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Crew 2 just kind of lost any semblance of identity. And it was like, here's every game mode, here's every engine that we've kind of done.
Yeah.
So I'm just mentioning The Crew because it's another latent franchise.
Well, I mean, I guess it could do. But out of the list that we've already discussed, I want that quite low on the priority.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want Steep 2? While we're here?
Steep was a thing.
As I'm scraping the barrel?
It was a thing.
Yeah.
And it was a short-lived thing.
See, my Steep thing, I love SSX so much.
Yeah.
SSX Tricky. So anything that's snowboardy, I'm game. It's like the Burnout thing. It's like, oh my God, it's like that other thing.
It's nostalgia goggles, though, because I tried to play Steep once and couldn't connect to the servers. So that was my Steep experience.
Okay, well, I played it for like a good little chunk when it came out. And so I did a bunch of little rotary spins and stuff. The trick system needed way more to it. But the idea of this like big open world thing where you're marking, like, I can go to the top of a mountain and be like, Jules, you can't beat me. And I'll just like,
put down a
racetrack. And then you challenge me. Like, there's some neat ideas there in terms of, and then that game also has the Crew 2 thing, which they obviously carried across, where you switch between the different modes. So like, you climb up a mountain and you want to be a wingsuit.
Yeah.
And so like, there's, you know, there's little ideas there that maybe they can bring back, but I don't think Steep sold at all.
No,
so,
if anything, the technology and time and effort that went into making all of the mountain and snow realism effects went just straight into Wildlands, and that's the last we saw of it.
That was literally the case. I can't even think where I know this from. Might be my friend at Ubisoft, but the Steep thing. Just a little insider thing. I've mentioned this on videos before, but they have, like, you know, every dev, like AAA dev, has a lot of ways to generate a lot of landscape in a quick amount of time. Steep came from them generating the landscapes for Far Cry, because they did a whole bunch of mountains and a bunch of different things.
And then they were just like, right, let's take that module.
Let's get into the different wings of the company and say, hey, look, let's put this physics engine that we're working on for Extreme Sports sports game in this landscape, hence steep. So yeah, I've said this about
Ubisoft loads, that they are like the company that specializes on certain things and then slots them into other games, because eventually I am convinced that they will make the best game in the world ever.
And it's just called the game.
Yeah, it will be the game, because it will be every single thing that they've done explicitly so well just put together, because you get teases of it with games like Wildlands. I keep bringing it up. We're just like, oh, it looks great. Oh, but the driving's not good. Then the crew comes along, you're like, oh, but they've got driving, they've done driving well there. So maybe we'll see that come in the next one where they've got a good driving. And you know what I mean? Eventually they'll just build and build and build into this apex of being the game.
Yeah, ultimate, brilliant, incredible.
Maybe it'll just be called Ubisoft.
Oh, that's
where
I'm going.
Just be called that. Ubisoft will be their own franchise.
I would buy
that. Fragrant times.
opulent fragrant times.
Well, that's the end of Oft.
The game.
Brilliant, whatever it is. Okay. That's what they do, they brand things. But anyway, not to worry. The next thing I've got down is Ghost Recon, because Ghost Recon Wildlands happened, but we played a little bit of it.
I really wanted to like it more than I did. I feel like it sold it being like it was like a tactical shooter. And when you were actually in the midst of a firefight and you were shooting, I thought, fine, this is a solid third person shooter. But the setup to it, I was just playing it and thinking, God, I remember when the game Mercenaries came out, and this is doing like everything this does, but worse. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've played squad shooters, I've played open world games, so just putting the two together doesn't mean that it's going to make a great game.
Wildlands, like, though, sold insanely well.
Yeah,
like,
because it was sold on the premise of being, it's open world, you team up to four of your mates, and it plays kind of like Crackdown, and that you're taking down little bosses and you're destabilizing areas. That concept of destabilizing areas is brilliant, and they should carry
stronghold thing again?
Because what it is. And giving the little the villains a little bit of backstory as to why they are so nefarious, that was inspired. That's what they've got to keep moving forward with. It's just a shame that point A to point B was a bit dull.
Yeah, well, actually, like, playing Wildlands, it was so buggy. Like, all the vehicle physics were just so blocky, and like, you could bounce off a wall on a bike and nothing would happen. You just cascade down a hill on a bike, and
I love laughing at a good bug.
Well, I think that's how it did so well, because, like I said, it sold so crazily well, and everyone saw the GIFs and everything on day one and just went, well, actually, I kind of want a bit of that. I want to barrel down a hill with my friends in a car, and it seemed to do all right. So they kind of got by. Like I said, Ubisoft occasionally embrace the banter side of their games.
Yeah.
And it's like, if they made an Assassin's Creed game where you could actually like do a spell and someone's face melted off,
that'd be pretty cool.
They've come full circle. Yeah.
So, Assassin's Creed Unity, the spell.
Assassin's Creed Pegasus with no faces. Maybe I would play that if it was just a wireframe model.
I think that there will be another Wildlands, just because, like you say, it sold so well.
Yeah. So there's that down. The next one is something that, it's a franchise that I adore and I wish the world did more, Splinter Cell.
Oh, yeah.
Because
Splinter Cell used to be, like, alongside Hitman and Metal Gear, as, like, the three pillars of all stealth gaming across the entire 2000s. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, Splinter Cell Conviction, it was like, hey, Sam's angry now and he's going to flip tables at you. And everyone's
old.
Like, what? He's an old angry man now. And then Splinter Cell Blacklist was brilliant, but they didn't bring Michael Ironside back. And then that was pretty much the death knell for years.
What was the most recent one?
Well, Blacklist is 2013, but he...
That was really good.
Yes, it plays phenomenally. It plays the best. It's right up there with Chaos Theory.
You can do that in two-player co-op, can't you? There's one that I played that you could play with a friend online. Mm-hmm. And me and this Australian guy called Paul, we played it loads, and it was absolutely brilliant.
Conviction had that too, yeah.
So good.
But like, in terms of the story, yeah, they ditched Michael Ironside, the iconic, you know, voice of Sam Fisher kind of thing, and replaced him with this dude whose name I always forget. He's from a TV show. And then Michael Ironside came back for the DLC of Ghost Recon.
Which suggests that they're going to bring it back.
Yes, because then Michael Ironside was sitting on a GameSpot booth at E3, and they were like, you're back for Wildlands. Are you going to do a full game? And he was like, well, I can't say. And it's just like, well, maybe you can. Because why would you bring back Mr. AAA Hollywood man?
You can say anything you want, Michael.
Yeah,
you can say anything you want.
Just fucking read the recipe book to me. I don't mind. excuse me. So yeah, it seems like, well, I would hope that they've got something in the works, being that they brought him back for like five lines in the DLC.
Plus, you've got to look at the stealth landscape as it is at the moment. Metal Gear Solid is on shaky grounds, as in it might not even exist. They might want to carry it on in a different thing some point down the line. Hitman 2 knows what it's about, and that isn't what Splinter Cell was about.
Yeah. No.
Like, it's not about like government takeover. I mean, I guess it is actually. Like,
Splinter Cell is done on a
kill in a creative way. That's Hitman.
Yes.
Whereas Splinter Cell is never be seen.
Yeah, Splinter Cell is like 24 or like that sort of like, well, it's Tom Clancy, but it is that sort of like espionage, like, you know, high tech weapons. Oh my God, there's a nuclear missile in the wind, Sam. And you've got to go and find it. Like, I love all that. Like, late, like 90s, Michael Bay was good.
Yeah.
Like, all that sort of stuff. You know, dropping yourself into the middle of some scenario and trying to save the world.
So I think that with that in mind,
it's got to be confirmed, right?
It makes sense for them to just be like, guys, there's no other stealth game out there apart from Hitman 2. Let's go. Let's go now.
Rach, do you like Splinter Cell?
I do like Splinter Cell. I'm going to be completely honest. I played the first one.
This is like when you told me you hadn't played Final Fantasy VII. Go play Chaos Theory, mate. They're really good.
What was the other one that was like, it was the second or third one? Pandora Tomorrow?
Pandora Tomorrow was the second one, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was brilliant.
I liked that.
Cannabis Fields and you hide in the cannabis.
What was the first one that had multiplayer where it was like spies versus mercs?
That was in Pandora Tomorrow.
That
was the best multiplayer
that
mode.
That was so good.
Yeah, they brought it back and no one cared.
You want to play
it. Mate, that's so good.
I actually, like, famously really, really hate stealth in games, but I did really love Splinter Cell.
Okay. Chaos Theory is the one that you should go back to. That's the one that gets held up. And that thing was so ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. Like, it still looks great today, and it came out in, like, 2005. Mm. Like, yeah, it's gorgeous.
I just gotta get good.
You do Splinter Cell's pretty good. I mean, you can handle the souls, you can handle the cells.
It's different, though. I'm like, guns blazing in souls. I just run up to stuff.
You can,
like,
do a bit of that in the latest one. That was what made people not like it. Yeah,
okay.
You can play the action route. You don't want to do that, though.
Okay.
That's not what you want. The next thing I've got down, which we can very quickly hop over, is Far Cry. The only reason I'm mentioning that, New Dawn is out today.
Yeah.
But
I don't think there'll be another one in the next year, though.
No. Well,
oh,
yeah,
I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
Well, you've got until next March,
April to April. April, though.
No, you're right. I think that today's launch will be the Far Cry 4.
I hope so.
For now.
Yeah.
But I've heard in rumblings that it's been a bit this new one that's just come out. However, it is addressing the thing that we've just been talking about, which is the base attack system, in the fact that it has a new mode where you go and take over a base, and then you can go over the base again and say, come on then, try and take it back from me.
Okay.
And it gets invaded by even stronger people with different layouts, and then you go back and do that. And the reviewers that I was watching, I believe it was IGN that was doing their review, they were like, this is the best bit of the game. They don't need anything else. This is literally what you want to play, because it's like an arcade score attack style. Then I'm like, yeah, this game now. I don't want this game, but I want that.
They had Far Cry Arcade in 5, which was just like you could design levels for each other and stuff. Yeah. And it's like if they had just a smaller Xbox Live Arcade style release where it's just Far Cry Base Assault or something.
I'm just
like,
you could totally do that. Do you guys remember the video game The Club?
Yes.
Like,
God, yeah. The run and gun prison shooter thing.
Yes, right. That as a concept is brilliant.
Well, let me explain a little bit more what it is, because they. Only me and you know this, because we're 110.
Yeah.
I'm slightly
it's
younger
fine,
than that.
It's fine, don't
worry. Yeah, 109. But The Club was a run-and-gun third-person shooter, but it was based on, like, Manhunt-style snuff films where everyone was watching you get a high score. So you would run through prisons.
So it was like Smash TV, but for, like, a new generation. Now, that was... didn't play as well as I wanted it to, unfortunately, but that concept of score attack, like, rush mode, arcadey things... Plus, Ubisoft, just make them, we're making you a game. We're making you money.
We don't really see that kind of stuff nowadays, do we?
No, not too much. I think
it's
because,
so simple.
Yeah.
And you know why? It's one of those things where, like, Hotline Miami is effectively the nadir of this argument.
I love that game.
Like a base attack thing and a score attack where you mess up, you get fried. Mm-hmm. Why are we not making more games like that?
Like the opening tutorial of Call of Duty 4, the opening bit where you try and get the time trial when you're storming tanker.
Yeah, I
like
love
that
stuff like
as
that.
As a series of scenarios.
I
like,
love
that would be pretty cool.
Like
I put Far Cry down because I was quite surprised when they announced New Dawn. Just immediately after 5.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they do something else, but it'll assumedly be... I mean, they can... I don't know. Either Far Cry 6 gets announced or they do another bunch of DLC packs, because there were tons for Far Cry 5.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. The next thing I got down is Just Dance, but that depends on whether we
Does
qualify
that. Have a
that.
Yearly release
now? Oh, it's guaranteed.
Yeah, I think so.
Humongous.
Yeah. So it's like, I have nothing to say about Just Dance other than I wish they put more rock songs in. And I wish they would make it so that if I put a Joy-Con on my head, I can headbang.
That'd be
cool.
That'd
I want
be very
it to track.
Cool.
I want to track when I'm headbanging.
That'd be very cool.
That's all I want. Just do a Just Dance headbang. We'd all get into it. Just Dance Pegasus. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah.
Just Dance Pegasus.
Just give me Just Dance Pegasus. So I've got Just Dance down. I mean, yeah, if it's yearly, that'll be one of their slots.
Sure.
So that's a potential. And the last thing I've got is Rainbow Six, because it's the weirdest release in terms of the way they handled the last one.
Oh, I think not. I think not.
No?
I think Rainbow Six is an esports giant at the minute.
Yeah.
If anything, they're going to keep supporting that rather than thinking
bringing
making
in
a
new
sequel.
So are we talking specifically about Rainbow Rainbow Six Siege, or is there Rainbow Six?
I assumed you meant Siege.
Well, yeah, either, that's the thing.
Because we haven't had a... I want to keep calling it New Vegas, but it's not New Vegas. Right. It's Rainbow Six... Vegas.
What do you mean?
It's just called Rainbow Six Vegas.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Rainbow Six. Okay.
I couldn't
remember what it was. Yes. I wasn't sure if it had another sort of parameter.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, because it was Rainbow Six Vegas and Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
Right. Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
On the 360.
Is sublime.
Yes.
And if they could make a Rainbow Six 3 or something like that, if that doesn't already exist, my Rainbow Six Vegas knowledge is clearly not up to date.
Well,
like, that would be brilliant if they could add that in. Because, like you say, they've got the esports market cornered. Why not go back and do the other stuff?
Siege is an absolute juggernaut. Mm-hmm. Like, that's been in the top 10 most played games on Steam and Twitch for 2 years or whatever it is now. Like, it's absolutely huge. But I think the reason it's so big is because it's so focused. It's multiplayer only.
True.
You can do offline training, but, like, yeah, it's multiplayer only, and it's so well balanced, and it's so, like, intense the whole time. I do really like Siege for the, like, handful of times that I've got to play it, but I wonder, because I preferred Vegas overall, but I wonder if the story focus, the Tom Clancy style, like I said, like with Splinter Cell, the Missile in the Wind type stuff, should be left to someone else, and Six has finally found its niche again. So I think, but the one of the things that got canned in the lead up to Rainbow Six Siege was Rainbow Six Patriots, which was this other more story focused thing, which seemed to be when they initially had, I think it was Viola Davis, the actress, she was initially going to be like your handler, your kind of HQ woman telling you what to do. I absolutely fucking love Viola Davis, give her everything.
Fair enough.
But she was in the lead up to the marketing for Rainbow Six Patriots, I think, anyway. It might have turned into Siege. And I would love it if they did a story with someone like her fronting the marketing and the campaign. That might be a way for them
to make
the story work. So, in terms of the entire roundup, we've kind of got three slots to fill. Out of all of those, what do you guys think?
Unfortunately, I think that apart from, like...
Just Dance.
Apart from the crew, I don't think that...
So we've got Skull and Bones, definitely. We've got Just Dance, almost definitely. We've got two more to fill.
Oh, it's probably Assassin's Creed, isn't it? Okay, can we say what we think it'll be and what we would like it to be?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
So
sure.
I think it's probably going to be Assassin's Creed. Obviously, Skull and Bones, Just Dance. They're likely.
And then what's the last one? Maybe...
Ooh, Splinter Cell.
Yeah,
Splinter Cell.
It's very likely. What I would like it to be, I would love a new Rayman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think I would actually...
You don't want it to be Splinter Cell?
Oh, no, I'm saying...
This is for personal.
Oh, good!
There is some degree of crossover.
Good Lord. But yes.
And, I think I'm actually going to go and see it. I would love Watch Dogs 3.
Ooh. Fair enough. After talking about it,
of the potential that could be so good.
That's kind of my pick for what I think it'll be, but I don't necessarily want. Ooh. I like it. I wouldn't mind another Watch Dogs, but I'm dying for Splinter Cell. It's been 6 years.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long way, hasn't it? I would go for my four. I would choose For Honor, Beyond Good and Evil 2.
That's all you get, mate.
Rayman and Ghost Recon.
Well, I take away
Splinter Cell. Splinter Cell.
Yeah, because two of those slots are going to be taken up with Skull and Bones and assumedly.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
I know. In an ideal world, maybe. So yeah, that's as far as I can see. That seems to be the most likely candidates for the sort of AAA games that are in waiting for Ubisoft. But let us know what you think down in the comments below if you're watching the video version, or find us on social media if you're on any of all the variety of audio platforms. I've lost count of how the amount of places.
Put down your top four that you would choose out of that list as well.
Yes. Let us know what you think is going to be coming. But yes, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Thank you so much for listening.
And joined by Jules Gill.
Thank you very much. Go follow me at RetroJ with a zero over on Twitter.
Yeah. Catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.